You're listening to episode 99 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Birth Tech Day Bonanza. There was a little bit of other drama this last week.
Yeah?
Well, like it seems like the drama's been going on a little longer. I'm trying to like coordinate the typing with the talking. It's not working for me.
I know, man.
Microsoft and Google, surprise, surprise, they hate each other.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's the way that they manifest their hate that is interesting.
Yeah, that's one. I think that they are the two most passive aggressive haters. Everybody else will come out and like directly attack. Like these guys they're stealing our stuff. They're like, there's like three levels of competition. There's out and out like trying to do damage to each other. Your Apples versus Samsung. There's like really healthy competition, like your Lenovo versus Acer. And then there's like the Microsoft Google, which is just incredibly, incredibly passive aggressive. Where they don't come out and say that we hate you and we're going to try to do everything we can to harm you, but then they'll do these like incredible little digs where you're like, wow, that was messed up.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is like, you know, it's the company styles and how they like to fight. Where Google's always been this passive aggressive, oh, we'll just do this and see what we can get away with. And we won't say anything, but we'll just mess with you. And, you know, and they do that with Apple, and Apple's just like, we hate you. You're doing this. Yeah. Stop it. You know what I mean?
We know what you're doing.
We're going to go nuclear on them. He's like, you know, just, right? Yeah. Passive aggressive, they just call it out.
Right.
You know? And Google's like, oh, yeah, we did that. We'll admit it. You know?
They're like, what? You didn't want us to do that? We thought you'd be cool with that.
No, it's fine. I guess you can sue us, I suppose, if you're upset about it, but you really shouldn't. It's fine. Apple's like, no, we will. We will.
Exactly.
Which is fun, right? And Samsung's the other, right, where they're just like, yeah. Samsung was one where they kind of got wrapped into the whole thing, and they were like, we'll punch back. That's cool. No big deal.
It was one of those things where like they were terrible because they sucker punched Apple, and then Apple's like, hey, and they started to fight back, and all of a sudden Samsung was like full on, all right, we're doing this. Samsung's indignant because Apple slugged back, and you're like, you straight up like mirrored their phone. Like those early, okay, nowadays, yes, your design is significantly different from an iPhone. I get that. You know, it's fair. You guys are doing some genuinely new stuff. But those first Galaxies were iPhones, and everybody, including you, know that. Like, what did you expect them to do?
I know. It's just so funny. And, you know, but Microsoft is another very interesting one. And you know that Bill Gates was this way just by the stuff that you read about him. It's that other very passive-aggressive, very aggressive, don't get me wrong. But it's that we're not going to come straight out and get you, which is what drove Apple crazy. And even Apple tried that with Microsoft, right? We're like, dude, you know, we'll make a huge commercial, and you know, you're mean, and we'll do the Mac first PC, and you're mean, and you know, and they're so just like, which is part of the fun of it, right? They're just like, oh, we're gonna come after you. We're not gonna be polite or about this at all. We're just,
right.
You know, but Microsoft's like, oh no, we believe. You know, Apple, we work with them. We're their biggest software vendor, whatever.
Right.
You know, we're friends. And Apple's like, no, we're not, but we need you. So, you know, whatever. And, you know, but Microsoft, they're just like, oh, yeah, we hate them. You know, we're jabbing them in the back anytime they get. And so what's so much fun is when you do get, like you said, Microsoft and Google together, is these two passive-aggressive, they're constantly doing the dance. They're going after each other.
Tell us what
I haven't seen Game of Thrones, but I get the feeling that that's how that TV series works, where it's all just kind of maneuvering. We're not going to come right out and get you, except for every once in a while it's going to blow up. But the rest of it is like, oh my gosh, look at what they're doing behind the scenes and messing with each other. But anyways, that's the whole –
Which
is fun to watch. Because one of the ways, again, that it manifested itself had to do with – the YouTubes, which, you know, is a valuable video player, and lots of people use it. And if you're going to have an ecosystem and an operating system, you know, it'd be nice to be able to play YouTube videos.
It'd be incredibly nice, since it is like the number one source of videos outside of Netflix on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be nice. And
I like how I just called YouTube the number one video source by saying it's without, like, or called it the number two without actually calling it the number two.
Well, I think from a minutes listened to standpoint or watched, I'm pretty sure YouTube's bigger than Netflix, but Netflix obviously gets the, you know, better per user, whatever, doesn't matter. I don't know.
I thought Netflix got bigger bandwidth. I think Netflix gets way more bandwidth, but that might be an unfair comparison.
Yeah, who knows what the right comparison is, really. I think from a revenue standpoint, Netflix is better. So if we go that way. Anyways, so let's see if I can get this story right. So Microsoft wanted a YouTube app for their Windows phone. Because, you know, they're like, that's what we would love to do. Because what it used to be is it would always kick you to their mobile browser to watch a YouTube video. You know, kind of like exactly how PC desktops currently work.
Right.
You know, you got to watch YouTube in the browser. But as you have noted, and as Microsoft has come out to say, their browser doesn't do it very well.
Right.
Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, we would like a native option. So they made one, essentially. And
not a terrible strategy.
Right, right. You're like, let's just do it. We'll ask for forgiveness instead of seeking permission. Fair enough, fair enough. The only problem was they did two things that Google did not like. Number one, there were no ads. And number two, by reverse engineering Google's API, they were able to figure out how to download YouTube videos for the sake of viewers being able to watch them offline.
Yeah, so that's...
You could watch them offline later. That was their rationale, which I'm sure that it was. And knowing Microsoft, they didn't even think for half a second about piracy. They just did it, right?
Well, I bet they thought about, well, that's just, you know what that seems like? That seems like a couple of overzealous engineers who didn't really, like, consider the ramifications of what they were about to do.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like we need this, and they made one. And and they probably were good, and, you know, and they figured out some cool ways to do it, and, you know, and Google's like, you know, on one hand, they're like, oh, that's very cool. They've hacked our stuff. On the other hand, it's Microsoft, so we hate them. And so, you know, and they're using undocumented APIs and all that kind of stuff. So, so Google comes out and is like, dude, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Take it. So they're like, you need to take it down, and we need to talk about this. And they explicitly said, we don't like the download. We don't like the ads. And
oh, we like the ads. We don't like the adlessness.
Right, right. Correct. We don't like the adlessness. Correct. And they were like, you need to use official APIs, which is HTML5. Okay.
Yeah.
It needs to be done in HTML5. So then they give them some deadline, right? You know, got to take it off by this date. That date recently came.
Yeah.
So Microsoft doesn't pull the app. Instead, they release an update to the app on that day, not allowing downloads, and now it runs ads.
Okay.
On it. And Microsoft goes, there, we fixed the problems. We're good. Nothing to see here. Moving on.
Right.
Which you got to love. Yes. And Google goes, no, that's not at all what we talked about here.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, you fixed the downloads. Good. But B, the way in which you implemented our ad system actually makes it so it's harder for us to track it. And it's just like, no, it's not working. Right.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
They're like, yes, it displays the ads, but we don't always make sure, we don't always know that it's the right ad, and we don't always like, know that the ad was actually run. So, no. Furthermore, it's not an HTML5 app, and it needs to be HTML5. To which Microsoft comes out and goes, well, wait a second. We explained to you, because of the way our code system works, we cannot make a good HTML5 app. That's just not – our operating system is not designed for that. It will not work. We need to have it be native.
And
they were like, furthermore, iOS – is native. It's not HTML5. Android is native. It's not HTML5. And they rattled off like 10 other YouTube apps that are native using undocumented APIs that are not HTML5. They're like, what the heck? Yeah. Why do we have to use HTML5? So Microsoft, you know, this is where kind of they're like, we think that Google doesn't want us to have a YouTube app, and so they're making unrealistic expectations that they know we can't hit, so that they don't have to say no. They can just say, "Oh, well, you didn't you didn't hit our qualifications." So,
well,
no.
In fairness, Apple no longer has a Apple-built YouTube app. There's only the Google-built YouTube
which
app.
Is not HTML5. So,
well,
like,
yeah,
you don't even
yeah.
play by your own rules.
Well, yeah.
And that's where, and you know, Microsoft's like, I thought you were all about fair and open and, you know, keep everyone the same. And I think it was it Microsoft, Google, or someone, I don't know who they were like, I might have been the article writer, which, by the way, Verge is the one who's kind of been doing all the write-ups for these things. They were like, it feels like Google has figured out that the Windows Phone doesn't have a huge installed base, and so they're okay to just totally shut them out and just make them peeve that they can't watch YouTube, so they'll switch over to Android.
Which, like, you know,
you
I mean,
get that sense.
There are quite a few,
whatever.
I'm going to say there are quite a few analysts out there, and I tend to agree with this position, that the Windows Phone operating system is going to do more damage to Android than it will to iOS, just in general, because it's that Windows Phone tends to be low to mid-end phones, and it's a new operating system, and just the reality of it is that they, you know, although it might cut into some growth sales for iOS and it might draw some iOS users away, the chances that it's going to cut more into Android is way higher. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you'll hear arguments about level of consumer, you know, low consumer knowledge and how that tends to lead towards like consumer confusion. Tends to lead people away from tends to lead people towards iOS, not away from it, because it's one of the more familiar ones, and everybody's running the same version of the operating system. And so when you have a completely different operating system fighting against not just the fragmentation of different versions of Androids, but all the different builds that everybody else has, that sort of thing adds more to the sense of fragmentation of everything other than iOS. And that very fact is damaging to Android. And so a big-time third party like Windows Phone could actually hurt Android, you know, on a whole. But it also kind of tells you the strategy that they're going to go with Tizen when Samsung finally launches that. They're going to make Samsung, you know, play by the build a bad app for YouTube.
Which, did you hear that they're backing off of that one a little bit?
I read that article, and I actually read a couple articles about that article. They're basically like, it's rumor, and it's from a website that's notoriously
wrong.
Notoriously writes stuff that is, you know, it's fallacious rumor.
Okay.
Just for and what they said is it's one of those things where the logic behind it makes sense, but the logic behind continuing the course makes sense too, and so it's could really go either way. That unfortunately just doesn't mean anything, which is why talking about rumor is only fun in about the last week and a half before or 2 weeks
or
before
if your company
product launches.
With an A.
Yeah. Well, you know, even then, come on. I held off on all
okay.
iPhone rumors that have been pouring out for the last six months until about 2 weeks ago. Which, you know, real quick. new iPhone 5S rumor. It's going to be champagne colored. So it'll have like a goldish tint, I guess.
Yeah.
So that it can actually be a different design thing, so that there's a differentiation between the S model and the older model, which is not quite like the direction I wanted them to go. But man, it does sound pretty smart to actually make a
just change.
Well, it's, Well, it's so stupid, but just to be able to identify from a distance that it's the latest generation of the phone as opposed to the last generation has value. I mean, it has social currency to it, and as vapid
you can always just do what I do, which is for the 4 and the 4S, just look at the little button slots for the on off and the numbers and just see if it's centered or not, and then you'll know.
You see exactly. That's yeah. I'm. Most people aren't that. You can't tell that from across the bar, though, and that's what people want. They want you. And as much as nobody would say, and nobody would admit out loud that that's the reason that they, you know, that's one of the reasons why it doesn't have as much value is because it doesn't look different. The fact that it looks different will help it sell better.
I understand. It's fair. You know, that's true.
How did we get here?
No, I don't understand the colors, but I don't.
Whatever. It's going to be a colorful – dude, this whole, like, September 10th is going to be a color-filled bonanza.
I can already see one of the posters with, like, paint buckets of different colors streaming.
They'd be into that.
Maybe that's an HP thing that they would do.
Oh, no, but that's going to be, like – it's going to be, like, they've got – because the big thing with iOS 7 was all the colors and the, you know, the iPhone 5 cheap. It's got – multiple colors, you know, and the new iPhone 5S has pretty colors.
I watched this cool video of they were like where Johnny Ive got his colors from.
Yeah,
it was actually super cool because it started out and it was just like a fuzzy cloud of all of the iOS 7 colors, and they were all kind of like spinning and going crazy, and they were just, but they were all there, and you're like, huh. Okay, that's the colors. And then it slowly zooms away from it and comes into focus. And all of a sudden you realize it's the little thinking beach ball on Mac OS X.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh. And I'm trying to decide if they messed with the color scheme of it or not to have it match it. But man, when you're zoomed up and it's all fuzzy, you're like, yeah, those are the iOS 7 colors. I see it. It was very interesting. And I there's a part of me that's like, I don't think it was that purposeful. But, you know, you never know with Mr. Ive. He could go for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
subtle, just... oh, it's there. And everyone, which I'm like, why would you want to associate something of frustration with your iOS 7? But, you know, that's just me.
Maybe they picked those colors originally because they're happy colors. So they take the frustrating thing, the hourglass. Anyways, we are so far off the top
cool.
the topic here.
It's fun. So anyways, who knows? And I frankly don't care, but it's fun to see where Microsoft and Google, you know, they just like to fight. You know, they're worse than siblings. They're just like cousins who don't like each other. And so
they don't normally have to deal with each other, but occasionally they've got to show up to the same family event, and when they do, they just go at it like cats and dogs. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's one thing where you're just like, dude, just ignore each other. It's okay, but you can't for whatever reason. You know, it's like, no, we're going to sit down and play Monopoly together. Come on. And
well, I mean, you know what's going to happen now. Google is going to come out with their next piece of their online empire that's slowly eroding away at Apple and Google. And, it's going to be a video sharing service. Or do they already have that? I don't think they have that.
I don't think they do.
It's funny. I think they're finally getting to the point with like all of their, hey, we're just going to try to do what everybody else does, but do it better and then not actually do it better. It'll be interesting. I'm actually really, this is kind of off topic, but well, it's tangentially related. I am really interested to see what's going to happen with Microsoft for the next couple of weeks. Cause I didn't highlight the article, but I'm going to talk about it anyways, months, years is, you know, Microsoft's getting sued over misleading RT, Windows RT stuff.
Yeah.
And, it's one of those things where, you know, there's been a cascade of underwhelming products that they've launched. You know, this is one of their big, like, spectacular failures in the Surface RT and RT in general. RTA is doing horrifically, and you know, none of the OEMs are even developing for it anymore. It's a terrible situation. But to think about it, it's like Bing's never really taken off. It got its market share, and it's just sort of stayed steady with that, and, and whenever they wherever they're gaining, they're losing an equal amount somewhere else. You know, their Google Maps stuff is it grew a little bit more after the first after the first like couple months of its launch, but it's pretty much stagnated. You know, nobody's using Windows 365. Everybody thinks it's too expensive. There's no excitement for it. You know, really and truly, you come back to it, the Xbox is the one division that keeps, like, generating enthusiasm and excitement, but it's just simply not a big enough part of their market or of their profit share to really merit being the company's only focus. It's a nice little icing on the cake, and it's become the main course. And it's like, you know, they're just in such a weird, you know, from where they're growing and where they're expanding. And it really makes you wonder, like, you know, next, do you try to keep making the products better? Do you try to focus on Windows 8 and just say, you know, we're gonna stick with this one until people like it because they have to? You know, they got to use Windows, and we're gonna try to do what we did with Windows. You know, like, we're gonna try to make a transition. We're gonna try to salvage it. Or do they come out with something completely different again? Do they keep like just throwing stuff against the wall, hoping, well, we got enough money to try it, so we might as well? I don't know. It's just such a weird position. This is gonna get so.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, but we'll do it anyways. There's actually one product that they're doing which I think has the potential to be cool. If you got 400 bones to throw out.
Okay. All right, cool.
They have come out with, I don't actually know what they're calling it. It's probably not as cool as this. But it's their touch screen for any surface.
Okay.
It started out as some prototype technology, and now for $400, you can have it, which really is $250 for the Kinect for Windows sensor, which could be used for all sorts of stuff. And then their, UB software. Essentially, what you do, I guess you'll also need a projector. Sorry. So it use a projector, projects their operating system onto the screen, and you use the Kinect. And as a result, you know, projector, any surface that you can see it, you now have a screen that you can interact with, touch, you know, enabled 3D yeah. type stuff. And they show a pretty cool video of, you know, of it working where you can be like, you know, in a meeting, essentially, and you could be drawing up. I'm doing it like off to the side. I'll do it to this video. You could be drawing stuff in it. You could be, you know, they show the classic zooming and panning with maps, of course, you know, flipping through photos and stuff. They show it on a desk where you could have the products on it, and because it's got the Kinect, it can be able to see what the products are, recognize it because of the software, and, you know, whatever, right? If the software's like, if it looks like an iPhone, do this. And, you know, and so then it can tell you about it. So it's kind of like their Surface table, but this can go on any surface, which is kind of cool.
Right.
But, and it's reasonably priced, you know, to be honest. I was kind of like, man, for $400, if I would seriously consider it if I had some sort of retail type shop where I had customers come in. You know, I'm like, I don't, or something, you know, or even just an office of some sort. You know, that'd be cool enough to be that cool.
My thought on this is that, you know, I really try to defend the engineering at Microsoft as much as possible because I think they do some good engineering. Sometimes I come off as incredibly critical, but the reality of it is, and I've said this before, what's so frustrating is how close they get so often. It's like,
You
know, the virtual machine, the .NET platform is fantastic and should give you the seamless integration across all of the different product lines and for simple apps at least. You know, you should be able to build one Kinect app and then, or not Kinect, one Twitter app and have it run across every different platform all the exact same. That'd be fantastic, and they don't do it. This doesn't work that way. For whatever reason, they've got fragmentation in their system that people don't like. They people don't know that that's how it's supposed to work, and it just is not good. You know, you've got, you know, gosh, you've got, you know, Windows 365 or Office 365 is a cool, powerful product. Just nobody uses it. You know, Bing is second rate. not much I can say about that, but I hear they've got some cool stuff that it does. You know, but it's like you sit there and you shrug your shoulders and you go, that's the problem that you look at with Microsoft is Windows 8 is not a bad operating system. Yeah, it's got some things that they need to fix and make better. Definitely. It's unfamiliar. That's a problem. But it's like it's doing worse than it deserves, and it's because of a bunch of design decisions and marketing problems that Microsoft has.
Those marketers, they're such troublemakers.
Ooh, yeah. Come on, man. You're supposed to take my incredible product and make it even incredibler. So this is
Microsoft. That's the problem.
Exactly.